All right, I'll call this meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. We are going to talk about proposed ordinance number 77-2021 about accepting the proposal of Environmental Design Group to review the city's zoning code. And Leslie, if we go forward, we'd have to do new legislation, right?
No.
We could still adopt.
It will be the same number.
77-2001 and 2002.
Oh, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep, they can carry over.
So, 18 years, I'm still learning. 19, though, all right. Who can tell us about what the history is of this proposal and what we, why we believe it's necessary and appropriate? Because it's not an insignificant amount of money.
I can tell you how we got here today, how the beginnings of it and all of that. That's not, if you notice in the proposal, it's Bill was involved in this, and I became contact. We initially got the proposal, and when the initial fee came in, it was our understanding that council was interested in looking at the provisions of our zoning code and how the downtown study interacted, if you will, or, you know, what issues were there in the zoning code that affected the downtown plan and vice versa. So it's my understanding, and I don't want to speak for Bill, but it's my understanding that that's what prompted the proposal from Environmental Design Group. When we initially got that proposal, the fee was actually almost twice what it is received.
That was in March?
Yes, yeah. And at that time, we reached out, and that's when I became a little more involved in trying to negotiate that fee down to something that we thought would give us the results of being able to address those issues that what we believed to be in council's concerns. But at the same time, you know, like I said, the original proposal was like $50,000, so it was almost twice what you see before you. So we negotiated that down quite a bit, obviously, and then this is what we have to bring to you. But this wasn't anything from, you know, like the zoning administrator or myself as service director. We didn't, you know, it was initiated by the concerns of what, at least what we perceived to be the concerns of council.
Okay, so the first thing in the scope of services is a zoning code audit of existing downtown related zoning code. Do we have any concerns with our existing code? I mean, what are we going to audit?
Mr. Hayden, may I join in for a second?
Sure.
Thank you. I believe I might have been the council member that brought this up as an idea when we were discussing with the original master plan. In my involvement in architecture and different types of developments in different communities, an issue that comes up when a master plan is done, it's oftentimes the code doesn't match the plan. And what that does is cause inconsistencies, which can then make it more difficult, not only for bigger developers, but also for smaller local developers. And I had, from my experience in my own realm, which having looked at the zoning code a lot, I had noticed some inconsistencies with the density limits for residential in different parts of the downtown area. And I am not a professional to where I could analyze that and make sure it aligns with the master plan. But from my background, it seemed to make sense to double check that what we say we want to do matches with what we are actually allowing to happen by right in our community in this area.
Okay, so let's go back to the master plan. Okay, there are two parts of the master plan. The first part is a demographic study of our community. The second part of it is, not a plan. It is a conceptual, presentation of what could be developed in the city based upon the demographics in the first half of this. And, you know, I think we made it very clear when we were looking at the master plan that even though the master plan shows, you know, redoing Sodders, okay, Sodders Market, that was nothing that we were endorsing per se. We were just acknowledging that the demographics and environmental design group's assessment of what the market for grocery stores is today, that would be a consistent development. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I looked at the, I mean, they had proposals for townhouses, for example, along Summit Street. And the demographics would support that. But we're, you know, we didn't suggest that we were going to impose townhouse zoning along Summit Street until there was a developer who came along and wanted to do that. So, you know, I'm a little, and I will tell you that if a developer came to us and wanted to develop a bunch of townhouses along Summit Street, I think I'd rather do a PUD than a zoning change. You know, I'm not a, you know, once we change the zoning, we lose control. I mean, we lose all control and review at that point. It's just, you know, anybody who can meet the zoning can come in and do whatever they want to do. Do we have any folks proposing development in our downtown that have a concern with our current zoning? Okay.
Mr. Hanum, I'm just trying to get clarification on something you said. You said if we go through the zoning change, then we're locked into where we have less flexibility. But
right
now we're not locked into anything. If somebody comes through and we need to make a zoning change and make adjustments, I'm not suggesting that we should change and be changing back and forth consistently. But is there something I'm misunderstanding?
I don't think so. I think you know, I mean, and this, these, weren't they called townhomes? You know, the, I think, what were they called? I can't remember. You know, the row homes, you know, zero lot line things. What were they called?
They were called townhouses.
They were, okay. Neat development idea. I mean, really neat development idea. I don't want to write the zoning code now to accommodate an idea that, you know, I don't know if there's any economic viability to it.
I mean, just to add back to the history, Kevin was right with environmental design, and I think it was in the back and forth between council and Michelle, and as Lindsay stated, you know, some questions came up, and Michelle offered that part of the plans that she's done for other communities was an overhaul or look at the zoning. And I think that's kind of where it came and said, well, should we look to Michelle, you know, and I think it came, can you give us an estimate of what it would do? She sent that to the administration, and then we kind of doctored it and said, because it was a pretty big number, we scaled it down to what we thought administratively, what if we were going to have her do this, this is what she should concentrate on. And I think that's just where we got to have her proposal.
I think there might be something to be said about Sylvania prides itself on being a business-friendly community, and I could see it being a deterrent if a developer wanted to do a fairly standard type of development, but it was not already a part of what our zoning code would allow to have to go through those extra steps. I could just see that being a challenge, and I'm also not saying we have to change anything right now, but I would like to have the knowledge to know where things may not be lining up the way we think they are, and to be able to know where a developer might end up coming and saying something. I guess I'm trying to be prepared as opposed to being reactive, at least in our downtown, considering how many changes and interests, interested parties there seem to be in it.
Does the inside the five development fit within our existing zoning code? I assume it does.
I believe it does, yes. I mean, then, we're like, we have the mayor here, but the, that's what he does.
I believe it does.
I think it does too.
Yeah. If I may, if you're in a.
Yeah.
Administration didn't ask for this review, and the first quote we got back from Michelle was for like $50,000 to review and audit the entire zoning code, and I said, no, we don't need to do that. But there were issues that some people, some council members wanted to have reviewed, as Lindsay said, about our downtown zoning code, and one of them, as I remember, is can you have residential on the first floor or not in the downtown zoning code, B4 or B3? That's an issue, and maybe it has to do with the townhouses you're talking about or not. I mean, we have one council member that said, we never want to see another residential unit on the first floor. Well, what the.
It's currently permitted.
It's currently permitted, and it's right in the townhouse proposal, so I.
Right, and if we, and so if we did, so if we wanted to make that change, I mean, we got a whole bunch of people in houses on Main Street.
Well, they all would be grandfathered in anyways.
Yeah, they'd be grandfathered in, right.
Yeah, it's whether you can build those townhouses or not, and it may just have to do with the two main street, the two main blocks downtown. If a new building is built, does council want to say you cannot have an apartment building with residents on the first floor or not? I've heard it both ways. I'm not sure which way is right. But we were going to get more input on that. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we went from $50,000 to about $20,000. We're not going to audit the whole thing.
Mayor, there was also questions, if I recall, and I think Mrs. Cappellini at the time brought up the thought process that we had, we needed to consider not allowing anything but retail on first floor spaces as well. And I certainly am no zoning code expert by any stretch, but I don't know what's allowed and what isn't allowed. But to me, a more fundamental question is what I've seen up to this point over the time that I've observed is that we have somebody who comes in a, whether it was SOMO or whatever, we put parcels together for SOMO, but do we want to be proactive and or we want to be in response back to somebody who comes in and develops? If we're going to market the space with the demographics that we have, do we need to have modifications of zoning or not? And I don't know the answer to the question, but that to me is, you know, one of the things that was suggested by Michelle is that we go out and market the possibility of our demographics and let nature take its course rather than allow somebody to bring us something and then we react to it from there.
I remind council that you created an entirely new zoning code category to allow SOMO to proceed. We never would have had a residential zoning code that dense. In the first
right
place. So in that case, because of the large size and unexpectedness of that development, you created a zoning code to allow it to proceed. That's not necessarily the best approach, but it did work.
Well, it allowed council to react to the specific proposal.
That one is really special. That one needed
right
a reaction.
Right. I mean, I'll admit to being kind of, not kind of, I'm cautious about changing the zoning code in a vacuum without knowing, you know, what development wants to happen. You know, if the, so I'm a little reluctant to foreclose our flexibility. I mean.
Mr. Hayden, also, I think, if I understood the conversation properly, the zoning code currently does allow for either first floor living or first floor retail. So in its current state, it meets at least that example. And it makes me think that I may need to take another look at the plan, right? To go back to refresh my memory on what the other primary issues of concern were. But I agree, there's flexibility. And good or bad, it's what we're used to dealing with is addressing people who have indicated interest in building in our community and then addressing the special needs as they arise.
Yeah, and I think we've been, as a council, I think we've been responsive to developers with ideas. You know, I mean, we've had a number of developers over the years come up with ideas that required zoning plans, and Leslie has involved me in a number of those, you know. And we're responsive. We're not always compliant, but we've been responsive, I think. I think about the proposal that we had, that we worked on last year about the art studios, which, you know, kind of talked to the developer and about those options and about parking and, you know, what kind of things we'd kind of be looking for. And in that instance, we haven't heard about that in a while, but it wasn't, because we weren't responsive. I mean, we were prompt and responsive.
Another thought in the conversation you're having, sometimes the goal is not to change the rules, but to have the discussion and have council be aware of what the rules are and to think about whether you want to make a change or not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know whether there should, there should be residential on the first floor or not. I don't know whether it should be limited to retail because we have some offices downtown that fit just fine. One right across the street over here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was continuing with Michelle, the process of learning and examining what's possible and then deciding whether you wanted to make any changes or not. I think that's probably where it really came from.
I think that is correct, Mr. Mayor. I do think that this was part of that three-phase effort where we did approve phase one and phase two. And as you're talking, I think this was...
It was not the goal to update any specific things.
It was to...
Process mm-hmm. to see, did you want to, did we need to?
And what are the opportunities?
You already know what you want to do. We don't need to pay $20,000 to write a few sentences.
So, well, what
Mr. Hayden, I wasn't here for, you know, Mrs. Westphal mentioned phase one and phase two, but, you know, so reading this for the first time, I perceived it as a proposal to audit and look at the zoning and whether there's any recommendations that we could look at. I didn't take it as a proposal to change anything at this time.
Well, as I look at this scope of services, I don't think we're at a stage where we would want item C, for example. Consistent with the mayor's comments, you know, we might want to do A and B. A is a zoning code audit. B is a zoning code and development of best practices and current trends research. So, you know, we'd be, like I said, continue, like you suggested, continuing the study. We'd need some conference, we need some client conference calls, and in-person meetings. That would be, scope E. And I really think stakeholder and or public engagement meetings, we could maybe decide whether we want to do those later, along with the zoning code research. The zoning code writing and rewriting. After we're maybe more, know more about what the proposals are. So, would it be possible to go, I'm sure it is, we could go back to Environmental Design Group and see if they wanted to do A, B, D, and E initially, and that's, I don't know, 5, 7, 8. It's under $10,000. A more limited engagement.
We can certainly go back to them and see if that's acceptable. I would imagine that they're still going to have some costs into, even though they're not actually writing and rewriting, they're still going to have some costs in reviewing those sections and, you know, referencing them as they make their recommendations. So I don't think that we would completely eliminate that section, but how much it would be adjusted, I don't know.
Well, why don't we go back and talk with them and talk about a more limited scope?
That's a great suggestion, and I do understand what you're saying as well, Mr. Allen. No question that for them to be able to discuss with us what their recommendations are, they've had to put a lot of thought in and essentially done some of the writing already. So I get that.
I don't know if we need a motion, do we?
I would do one.
A motion to explore more limited scope of a proposal? All right, I'll...
Second. I move.
I'll second. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, we'll do that. All right, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Our zoning enhancement committee. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.